What does the future hold? Don't you wish you knew? Wouldn't it be great if we could just know everything that was ever going to happen? Would you like to know the date you're going to die? How would you like to know that? Well, I don't know. It probably would change the decisions you make today if you knew you was going to die tomorrow. But there are things that we do not know. But man has always had a curiosity to know what the future holds. And there's no area any greater than this special lesson that we've advertised, and some have come this very day to hear, to talk about what the Bible says about what's going to happen in the future. But isn't it amazing the fascination that people have with the future? You stop and think about all that is happening in the future and the fascinations they have. You ever heard of fortune tellers? What about seances? Are you aware that there are individuals who love to find out what's going to happen? They'll go to a fortune teller. They'll go to a seance. They go and they'll talk to a psychic. They'll talk to palm readers. Years ago, that was a whole lot more popular. I can remember down Southern Boulevard, there were those who lived down there who evidently needed it more than others, but there was this palmist that would read out there. And someone said, I don't know if I should go to read to a mind reader or to a palmist. And somebody says, I'd go to a palmist, at least you have a hand. And the very fact that all of those wrinkles in your hands would tell your future. And there are those individuals who wanted to know what was in the future so much. And what about astrology and the horoscopes? There are individuals who will hardly get out of bed and will make choices about what they're doing because they think that something that's printed in the newspaper will tell them everything that's going to happen. Looking into the crystal ball that sometimes witches have done and fortune tellers have done and the tea leaves. And how about these messages from God? Well, God just told me this, and this is exactly what's going to happen. And so they live their lives waiting for God to tell them what is happening out there in the future. And there's those tarot cards. And by the way, here's one you might find interesting. You right now, if you want to get bored in the summer, go online, have your credit card out, and there are online fortune tellers. In fact, there's a listing, you can Google it, and you can find the top 10 fortune tellers in America. I'd skip I'd skip 2 through 10. I'd just go to the top one. I wouldn't waste my money on number 10. I want to go all the way to the top and find that out. You remember that time a few years ago whenever you could call this psychic and they would tell you the winning numbers in the lottery? It always amazed me that psychic was having to sell their services instead of going out and buy the cards. I mean, seriously, if they got enough money and 4 or 5 people, all the lottery, they'd have to split it that many ways, and they can just tell what's going to happen in the future. And then there are spirits and ghosts that come and talk, the voices from the dead, and individuals come with that. And the list goes on and on about this. I want to know what's going to happen in the future. Now, I was not able to find how much Americans spend on this, but I suspect we spend more than the Italians do. You want to see that number that's on the board? Can you read that number? $5.8 billion annually are spent in Italy. People go into others who think they can tell them what's going to happen in the future, and you're talking about an industry that is booming. It's booming in America. People are giving everything they want to know. And then, stop and think about it, that many religions began with talking about the future. In a minute, we'll talk about that matter of idolatry. But you know why there was idolatry? There's a religion. Why are all those idols there? Because they didn't know what was going to happen, and they had the sun god and the moon god and the sea god and the god of the harvest and the goddess of love, and they would all help them deal with the unknown in their lives. But think about religious division in America. Starting about 1830 and going even into the earlier part of the 1900s and even more with televangelists today, there are many religions that have started. We have people just saying, the Lord is going to come back in your lifetime. There's that religion where a man said, I saw an angel, and the angel told me that what was going to happen, and I've got a brand new Bible to give to you. You may have seen that other Bible advertised. And so there's religion that started. They'll give you another Bible Because a man saw an angel and went out and looked under a rock in New York, and he found some gold plates which he translated and gave them to you, and the angel came and took those gold plates away. So we don't know if there ever was a rock, much less the gold plates. Religions have started. And there are religions that regular. There's one religion that goes around knocking on doors, and they've set five different dates when the Lord's going to come back, and they're building their religion by scaring people. And you're thinking about televangelists? Remember Y2K? You remember everybody thinking that whenever the new millennial started, that everything was just going to explode. And there was that book that was entitled 88 Reasons Why the Lord is Going to Come Back in 88. And how about that best-selling book that sold millions of copies called The Late Great Planet Earth? Religions have started over this. And you and I need to understand that only God knows the future. Now, I want you to hear that. We're going to show that in just a moment. But the reality is, there is no human, there is no way on this earth to know what's going to happen in the future unless God tells you. If there were some way, then there would not be the abundance of all of these religions, with every one of them contradicting each other, telling others what was going to happen. And we need to be aware of that. I want you to look at this text. Look back in Isaiah chapter 41, verse 21 through 23. And look at the text that is there. If you'll put that text back up on slide number 2. The heading in my New King James Bible says, "Here is the futility of idols." And so here God is talking to a people who had hundreds of idols, talking to the Jewish nation. And he says to these idols, "Here's what I want you to do. Come and present your case," says the Lord. "Bring your proof," says the King of Jacob. It's from the English Standard Version. The New King reads slightly different, but the exact same emphasis. The Lord says to these idols, "If you know everything, then right now, let's have a test. Bring your proof," says the God of Jacob. "Let them bring them and tell us what's going to happen. Tell us the former things." That is an amazing reference to the fact that if you did not have written history, you would know nothing about the past. If it were not for written history, you would not know about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If it were not for written history, you would not know about Noah. You would not know about the Jewish nation. You would not know anything at all of anything that's happened in the past. If you were an orphan, somebody said, "Where were you born?" "I don't know." Where have you lived?" I don't know." Why? Because unless somebody tells you what's in the past, and God says to these idols, "You want to worship these idols? Let these idols come and tell you what's happened in the past." And then he says, "Tell the former things what they are, and we will consider them, that we may know their outcome, or declare unto us things that are to come." God, by implication, says, there's not an idol on this earth that can tell you the past, and there's not an idol on this earth that can tell you the future. And so the challenge is, whenever he talks about these idols and he speaks to the idols, he says, "Tell us what is to come hereafter, that we may know that you are God." You hear that? The very evidence that there is a true God is the fact that he knows the past, and he knows the future. And so he says to these idols, "Now go ahead with those arms that are helpless, and with those arms that are helpless and eyes that cannot see and ears that cannot hear, go ahead and do good or do something evil, that we may be dismayed and terrified." Why? Because only God knows the future. Now let's prove that. If there's anybody that ought to know the future, especially about spiritual future, it ought to have been the Lord Jesus. When the Lord Jesus lived on this earth, he emptied himself of a quality of deity. Only God, deity, knows what's in the future. But in order for the Lord to be tempted in all points like as we are, He was not only the Son of God, He was the Son of man. And so whenever He's talking about the signs that are given in Matthew 24 and Mark chapter 13 and Luke chapter 21, the signs of things that are to come, He says, heaven and earth will pass away. Then He says, but of that day knows no man. I want you to hear. Jesus, in Mark chapter 13, verse 31, says, there is no man on this earth that knows when heaven and earth shall pass away. And then He says, not the angels. There's not an angel in heaven. When Jesus spoke these words, there was not an angel in heaven that knew the future, not a single one. And then He says, nor even the Son of Man. I want you to hear that. And every time there is some individual saying everything's ready, the Lord's going to come back in your lifetime, as they've been saying that for the last several generations, He's about ready to come back. The end is at hand. When Jesus was on the earth, He wrote Ezekiel, He wrote Daniel, He spoke the signs of the end. And when Jesus was on the earth, He says, even I do not know when the end is going to come. And if there's somebody trying to sell you books and get you to send your credit card number so that you can buy books that will explain to you the end and what lies in the future, and you'd never be able to understand it unless you order this book that I'm advertising, don't listen to him. When Jesus was on the earth, even Jesus could not write that book and give you the precise things that of things when that day was going to come, when heaven and earth would pass away. Jesus did not know it. In Acts chapter 1, the apostles came to Jesus and asked Him about what lay in the future, and that is, Lord, are You at this time ready to set up the kingdom of Israel? They misunderstood what that kingdom was. They thought there was going to be an earthly kingdom with Jesus sitting on David's throne, like David sat on the throne. And Jesus' answer to them says, it is not given to you to know the things that the Father has kept in His own power. I want you to understand, only God knows the future. And so here are the apostles. Anybody ought to know what was going to happen. It surely would have been the apostles. And Jesus said, it has not been given unto you to know the things the Father has kept in His own power. Now Jesus ascends back into heaven. When He ascends back into heaven, we come to the book of Revelation. And in Revelation chapter 4, God sits on the throne with a scroll in His hand. And if you open up that scroll, you will find a revelation of things which must shortly come to pass. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. And you get to chapter 4, and especially when you get to chapter 5, the question is asked, who is going to open this book? Who's worthy to open up this book that's going to reveal the things that are going to... who's worthy to do it? And they search through heaven. They searched through all of the earth. They searched every place any person was on this earth, and there was no one that was there worthy to open up the book save Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. And when Jesus came and took that book, it was an affirmation of His deity, because only God, deity, knows the future. And Jesus takes that book and opens up those scrolls. And only Jesus was worthy to do that. Wouldn't it be wonderful if, in view of all the ideas about what lies out there in the future, if God could, in very simple ways, tell us what lies in the future? Is the Lord about ready to come back? Are the signs about ready? What does the future hold? And then we talk about the millennium, the thousand-year reign. We talk about the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the wicked being 1,000 years apart. We talk about the fact that that all of these things about the rapture. And by the way, the word rapture is not even found in the Bible. You'd think it would be found on every other page. But where's the rapture going to be? Is the rapture going to be pre-tribulation, mid-tribulation, post-tribulation? And there are all of these ideas. Ask so many individuals. Ask your religious friends and neighbors about what the future holds. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God could give us some reasons in simple language so that even a child can understand? Troy, how are you? About 10? Yeah. Wouldn't it be wonderful if God put something in the Bible that even a 10-year-old could understand, 11 years old? Wouldn't that be wonderful? And wouldn't it be wonderful if He put things in the Bible that even those who are in junior high or even not in junior high would be able to understand, that helps us know what the future holds? Because only God knows the future. I want to suggest to you in today's lesson 4 amazing truths that God simply states that will able to for you to deal with all of this information there is out there about what's going to happen in the future. 4 simple truths. Now, because there's so much teaching and misuse of other verses in relationship to the Bible, some people get into the complex part of the Bible and they come up with all sorts of ideas, and multitudes of religions and movements have started. Different televangelists have taught all different things throughout all of the years. Radio evangelists before that. How's anybody ever be able to find the truth? Here are 4 simple truths. 4 amazing truths simply stated that will help you do this. When Jesus comes back, what's going to happen? The first one is this. All of the dead will be raised at the same time. You stop and think about the ideas people have about the resurrection of the dead. Wouldn't it be remarkable if God had just put in languages that we'd have to have help to misunderstand truths? Read John chapter 5. Verse 28 and 29. Jesus says, "Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of the dead." Can you understand what that verse says? In relationship to the resurrection of the dead, read that verse. And understand in languages that Jesus in one sentence can talk about the resurrection of the dead and help you judge all of the ideas that individuals have about what lies in the future in one simple sentence. All that are in the grave in the same hour will hear the voice that opens the grave and they shall come forth. Somebody said, well, I heard somebody talk about the resurrection of the wicked 1,000 years after the resurrection of the righteous. I know what I've heard people say. I've read the books. I've listened to the television broadcast. But I want you to understand that God says in a way that even a child will be able to understand, that at some time in the same hour, every person in the grave will hear the voice and come forth. Well, somebody says, no, that's all of the righteous are going to come forth. Well, wait a minute. What did Jesus say? All that are in the grave will hear His voice and come forth, some to the resurrection of condemnation and others to the resurrection of life. Suppose God had given you an assignment to put in languages that nobody ought to ever be able to misunderstand, that at the very same time everybody in the grave would be resurrected. Make it as simple as you can so even a child will be able to understand it. You could not say it any with more clarity than Jesus himself said, all that are in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Let me add another verse to this. Jesus talks specifically about the righteous being raised in John chapter 6. And in verse 40 he says, this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son of Man and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. All of them in the grave is going to be raised. When? Jesus said, at the very last day. I want to ask you a question. How many days will there be after the last day? Will it be another week after the last day? Another month? Will there be another year, another decade, another century, another millennium? You see, if there's 1,000 years between the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the wicked, that says the righteous will be raised and 1,000 years later the wicked will be raised, that wasn't the last day. There are 365,000 days after the last days. Who could believe that? What does the future hold? Jesus is coming back, and all of the people in the grave will hear his voice and come forth. Simple truth, clearly stated. And whenever you talk to others about what's going to happen in the future, this is one of the verses you need to know. In the second place, plainly and clearly stated, the Bible says, not only will all the dead be raised, but the earth itself will be destroyed. And somebody says, well, I've heard that the Lord's going to come back and the earth is going to be renovated and we're going to live in a millennium and we're going to have paradise on this earth again. Did the Lord make a simple statement that might help us to see that the earth will be destroyed? Listen to these words. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Some people say, well, the Lord said he was coming back, but he hasn't come back yet, therefore he's not going to keep his word. And Peter says, oh no, you don't understand. When Peter wrote this letter, Peter says there's one reason the Lord has not already come back, and that is he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You need to make that personal. One of the reasons the Lord has not yet come back, is that he has given you every opportunity you can to repent. But he says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. That in and of itself says nobody knows when he's coming. And he says, in the which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, the elements will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 and 10. Understand that? Can a child understand what's going to happen? The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and when that day comes, the heavens and will pass away with a great noise. All of the stars and the planets and sun and all that is there, they're going to cease to be. They're going to pass away. What's going to happen to this earth? He says the elements, the building blocks out of which the universe has been made. Elements are the atoms. Elements are the chemical elements. And he says, here's what's going to happen to the elements. They will melt with fervent heat, and the earth and the works that are therein will be burned up. Somebody said, now I know about a man that studied the Bible for years and years. And he says, no, it's just going to be purified. And sure enough, all the wicked is going to be taken out of the earth when the Lord comes back. And then we'll live on this earth forever. Well, that verse does say that's what's going to happen to the evil that's on this earth. That the works will be burned up. But the verse not only says the works will be burned up, it says the earth itself. Whatever happens to evil will be exactly what happens to this earth. You and I need to take personally and recognize that to lay our lives and build our lives about things that we only have at best 70 or 80 years on this earth, and then they pass away, and they are eternally gone when the Lord comes back, and they'll never exist. That's why the Lord says, don't lay up for yourself treasures on this earth. And so this earth will be destroyed. Four simple truths. All the dead will be raised. And the earth will be burned up under the fiery judgment of God. The third thing is that every person will then be judged at the same time. Hear these words. Matthew chapter 25, when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, He will sit on the throne of His glory. And all the nations will be gathered before Him. And He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from his goats. And He'll set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left hand. There are multitudes of verses that talk about the coming of Jesus, and Jesus describes it this way. Jesus was on the earth and says, there's a day that is coming when the Son of Man will come. He'll sit on His throne, and all nations, for you see, the citizens of all nations have been raised. The earth has been destroyed. And all mankind will be separated from the Lord, either on the right hand or on the left hand. There are so many other verses that describe this, that says, when He comes in fiery judgment, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7 to 9. In fiery judgment, when He comes in His glory, the next verse says. That's what's going to happen. We mentioned that expression last days, a few minutes ago, that the Lord's going to raise up the wicked, or raise up the righteous on the last day. But I want you to hear where Jesus uses that expression again. John chapter 12 and verse 48. He who rejects Me and does not receive My words has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him, listen, on the last day. What's going to happen on the last day? Jesus says in John 6, I'm going to raise the righteous, and on that very same day, I'm going to bring judgment on those who reject My words. Simple truths. These are not My words. They're the words of the Lord Jesus. And the fourth simple truth, plainly stated about what's going to happen, is that there will be a separation of the righteous from the wicked. Look at Matthew chapter 25. We looked a moment ago at the verse that says, when he comes with all of his angels and all nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them the one from the other. He says in verse 34, to those on the right hand, to those sheep, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Did you hear that? The judgment has taken place. All the dead have been raised on the last day. The earth has been destroyed. And the judgment is taking place on the last day. The Lord separates the one from the other. And he says to individuals, there are two destinies. One is, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Then he says, then he will say to them. I want you to look at the word then in verse 34 and the word then in verse 41. Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, then He'll separate them. And then He will say to those on His right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. And then He will say to those on His left hand, ye depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Is that simple enough? What does the future hold? Four truths. Four truths. All the dead will be raised at the same time. This earth will be destroyed. And at that time there will be the judgment, the separation of the righteous from the wicked. And then there is the pronouncement of the destiny of all mankind. Come, ye blessed of my fathers, depart from me, I never knew you. And look at the last verse of that chapter. These on the left hand will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. We live in a day and age in which it's not popular to talk about hell fire. But the word Gehenna, every time it's mentioned in the Bible, except one time, it's Jesus who uses that word Gehenna, the word for hell. Jesus is the one who teaches the doctrine of eternal fire. This verse, eternal punishment. And the thing you and I need to recognize is this sermon concerns every one of us. Every one of us will be raised if we die. We'll be raised at the same time. If we're alive and remain on this earth when the Lord comes back, we too shall be changed into immortality, into immortal bodies. And that's one of every one of us. We will all hear His voice and come forth. And this earth, the globe in this universe on which we live, that God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth, God who created says, it will be no more, nor will the heavens be any more. And then there is that separation. And the personal application of this lesson is that concerns you. There is no middle grounds on the day of judgment. He only has two hands. And He only has two words. Come or depart. Are you aware of the fact that on that day religious people will be lost? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7 verse 22 and 23 that on that day there will be individuals who said, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in Your name, and in Your name we cast out demons, and in your name we did many wonderful works, and the Lord will say, depart. Why? Lord, Lord, this is what we've done. Lord, we've prophesied. Lord, we've done works. Lord, we've cast out demons. That's in verse 22 and 23 of Matthew 7. But in verse 21, Jesus says, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but who that does the will of my Father, which is in heaven. And that's what you need to do. You need to secure heaven for yourself. You and I need to understand that their future is out there, and the only hope we have in the resurrection is not moral goodness, not in necessarily involvement in some religion on this earth, but trusting in God and doing His will. Not everybody that says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom. He who does the will of my Father. What is God's will for my salvation? It is to believe in Jesus. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, if you believe on me, you should not perish. Whoever. But you must repent of the wrong that's in your life. Acts chapter 17 verse 30 says, God now commands all men everywhere to repent. God commands me to repent. He commands you to repent, to change your life, to confess your faith in Jesus. Romans chapter 10, verse 10, verse 9 says, if you do this, if you'll confess the Lord Jesus, you'll be saved. Have you done that? Then you need to be immersed in water. That's not some doctrine begun by some religious movement, but brought on this earth by Jesus Himself. And it was the messenger of Jesus who says, arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. Acts 22, 16. And Paul says, those that have been, we are children of God, for we have been baptized into Christ. I am a child of God, for I have been baptized into Christ. Galatians 3:27. And when I do that, the Lord adds me to His kingdom, to His body. I become a part of the family of God. I'm now a child of God. And He says to me as a child of God, now you live faithfully until the day you die. And when that day comes, when all the dead are raised, when this earth is destroyed, when that day of judgment comes, you'll be on the right hand. Why? Because you've done the will of the Father. You've lived faithfully unto death. And I will say to you, come ye blessed of my fathers. We're about to sing a song of invitation. And if you look at yourself and you know that you're on the left hand, and you are destined to hear the Creator of the world say to you, depart into everlasting condemnation. That's what this invitation song is all about. To provide an opportunity for those who are not ready for the future to get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to meet the Lord? For this earth is not going to be here eternally, neither will you. But what lies in the future for all of us is the certainty of standing before God in judgment. If you're lost, if you know you'll hear the words depart, then will you not make the changes that need to be made? And let me know that your desire to make those changes by coming to the front right now. As together we stand and sing. Will you come?